Welcome to the new edition of the Diplomats Podcast. This week we'll be talking about India's recent election results. I'm Ankit Panda from New York.
And I'm Zachary Keck from Washington.
So as everybody expected in the Indian elections, the BJP with the National Democratic Alliance Coalition took a huge victory. However, what many people did not expect is that the BJP actually ended up taking a majority in parliament outright, which means that it will actually be able to rule without the necessity of its coalition partners. On the other side of the aisle, the Congress Party and the UPA coalition, who have been ruling India for 10 years, took their worst ever defeat. The Congress Party is sitting at 44 representatives right now, and the UPA coalition as a whole has just shy of 60 members. They're in the double digits, and it's really not looking good for the Congress. They're paying the price for what Indian voters see as poor governance and poor politics over the past 10 years. On the other side, we have India's independent and regional parties, who are actually a major force in parliament. Between them, these parties have taken 145 seats. And among this group, there's several significant regional parties. For example, the Trinamool Congress, led by Mamata Banerjee, and the All India Anna Dravida Munnetra Kazhagam, which is led by Jayalalitha in the south, which has taken 36 seats. And what that means is that the opposition in India's parliament for the next 5 years at least will be quite difficult to predict, which is a bit of an advantage for the BJP. It means that the Congress won't be able to dominate the opposition as it has, as it did during the last BJP government when Atal Bihari Vajpayee was prime minister. And speaking of the prime minister, Narendra Modi is the man of the hour. He will be chosen as India's next prime minister without any problems, given the NDA's massive majority. And as many of us have been speculating, Modi's policies and his persona as a strongman made him incredibly popular. And that's actually part of the problem for the Congress Party in this election. They didn't have a comparable personality. The Congress Party's face was Rahul Gandhi, who is the scion of the Nehru-Gandhi dynasty. And he ended up running for a seat in Amethi, where he struggled quite a bit. The Congress Party has officially conceded defeat. Both Rahul Gandhi and his mother, Sonia Gandhi, the leader of the party, have conceded defeat on behalf of the party. And they've congratulated the BJP, and it looks like India is, for the first time in its history, has such a strong majority in the parliament that belongs to a party that isn't the Indian National Congress. So in that sense, this election is incredibly historic and will have huge long-term ramifications for India's growth and development.
Do you think you mentioned that a lot of regional parties fared well. Do you think a lot of these lean towards the BJP and Modi or the Congress? Can, like, not that the BJP really needs it, but can it even co-opt some of those people or some of those parties? Or
no, so two of the largest parties are actually quite opposed to the BJP, and there's a lot of personal vendettas there between Narendra Modi and the leaders of those parties. So if anything, they would band together with the Congress. There will be an opposition in parliament against the BJP, but it simply won't be able to moderate the BJP's behavior. I think what's interesting is, the policy agenda of the opposition is what will be interesting to see. It likely won't be dominated by the Congress anymore, but it'll go to one of these regional parties if they're able to pull off a leader. In particular, the leaders of these regional parties are significantly more charismatic and popular than many Congress politicians. So in order to have a better face on the national stage, the opposition would be smart to maybe pick someone like Jayalalitha to lead them in the parliament.
Do you think how unified is the BJP within itself? Is there a lot of divisions here? Is it going to be a lot of infighting within the party, or are they going to be able to really move legislation and without just major disagreements?
That's an interesting question. I mean, from what I know, the BJP is quite a disciplined party. I mean, with Modi's rise, there's been some problems within the party from the old guard because, Modi was a relatively young politician. He essentially came out of he rose to popularity in pretty much a decade, and there are several politicians within the BJP, like LK Advani and others, who've, you know, been members of the party and have been leading the party for decades now. So in that sense, there might be a bit of a shuffle between the old guard and the new guard, but I expect that to maybe manifest itself in different ways, not really cause problems within the parliament. I think I don't foresee the BJP or the NDA coalition having trouble really passing legislation.
Okay. Well, Modi made for his campaign, he made economics front and center. What can you explain his economic agenda, or do we know it very well? Or
yeah, we do. I mean, so a big part of his economic agenda is essentially, a development and reducing the mismanagement of government. Modi is kind of, his economic policy is kind of based on a good governance, corruption-free government. And that's also, you know, something that was going for him during the elections. He has a relatively clean record when it comes to governance and corruption, which you can't really say for a lot of top politicians in Indian politics. I mean, just over the past 10 years of the UPA government, there have been so many scams implicating the highest levels of government that Indian voters have gotten very jaded with the whole corruption situation. I mean, that was partly what we saw with the rise of the Common Man's Party, the Aam Aadmi Party last year, where they got a chief minister in New Delhi. But apart from corruption, when it comes to economic policy, I would caution against thinking that the BJP might be able to, you know, reverse several of the populist schemes that the Congress government put in place. A part of what the Congress government tried to do in these past 5 years, at least, was to, you know, put forth a lot of unpopular schemes, such as the food security bill and the NREGA. And it appears that the BJP will be hard pressed to reverse these populist schemes, simply because in Indian politics, when you try to reverse a populist scheme, you come off as very unpopular. And you know, I think the BJP is going to focus on other issues like a trade and investment first. But that said, we'll still have to see where Modi ends up going once he's firmly placed in office.
So you do think that under Modi, they're going India will open up more for foreign investment, because that's been a huge issue.
Yeah, it has been a huge issue for particularly the United States. But I should also note that the BJP has a strong contingent within it that's actually opposed to opening up India's, you know, retail sector and other sectors for foreign investment. A part of so the BJP is a Hindu nationalist party, and that nationalism does manifest itself economically. So part of what the BJP is interested in doing is creating a self-sufficient India that's able to stand up on its own without relying excessively on foreign investment. And I think that ultimately, you know, the party will be forced to open India up to more investment, simply because right now, with, you know, a global economic dynamics in India's own state internally, it seems very difficult for the country to grow without opening itself up more. And I think, you know, at least Modi is aware of this, but I think this might be a point where the BJP might have some internal disagreements.
So I guess we probably should talk about foreign policy too.
Yeah.
Let's start, I guess, just with the U.S., even though it's probably the least important one, but I mean, the U.S. Banned a visa from Modi back of 2005, I think,
yeah,
for stemming from the anti-Muslim riots or his perceived role in that in 2002. And then the U.S. reached out to Modi maybe a few months back in anticipation of him becoming the prime minister. So where do you see U.S.-Indian ties going? Is Modi, do you think he holds a grudge against the U.S., or is he ready to embrace it? And what about the U.S. side?
I don't think he holds a grudge. I think he's definitely not going to look at the U.S. as India's most important external relationship, probably for some while. Yeah, you're right. So Nancy Powell, the U.S. ambassador to India, met up with Modi. She's resigned now, but before she left, she met up with Modi to kind of set up the possibility of the United States and Modi working together. I mean, ultimately, the United States is a very important partner for India economically. So I think in that sense, Modi will be forced to work with the United States. But apart from that, I think you'll see him giving a lot more attention to India's eastern front, including Southeast Asia, China, and Japan.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, what do you think, from an American perspective, how do you think the United States feels about Modi's victory? I mean, the Congress party, you know, was quite successful, actually, with the United States. I mean, particularly the Civil Nuclear Cooperation Agreement was a huge victory and really transformed the nature of the Indo-U.S. partnership. How do you think that's going to change with Modi's election?
You know, I'm not sure, and I bet my guess is the U.S. will take a wait-and-see approach. It depends, I guess, sort of on the if BJP, it'll definitely want to continue the relationship, but if so, as long as BJP is willing to do that, I think the U.S. is going to be on board. I mean, in my opinion, it's sort of a good thing. What's so frustrating about Indian politics a lot of times from the outside is how divided it is, which you sort of say about American politics too. But so it's nice to see in some ways like a strong leader with a strong with a majority party, outright majority parties, in hopes of bringing some unified leadership to India, which. I mean, Indian politics, I think, for a lot of outsiders, is just hard to even grasp your mind around. There's just so many parties and stuff. So I think in that sense, the U.S. might see it as a good thing. But it obviously depends on BJP's policies towards the U.S. and its interests.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting looking at the BJP's posture with Pakistan, because at least the Congress party was able to separate its relationship with the United States from what the United States was doing with Pakistan over the past 10 years. However, the BJP might not be so willing to do that. I mean, again, part of that nationalism is going to manifest itself in the party taking a strong stance against Pakistan, against any perceived aggression, against Pakistan-sponsored terror attacks on Indian soil. And in that sense, I think the United States might have some trouble, you know, managing its relationship with Pakistan and managing its relationship with India, which the Congress party wasn't able to separate. Yeah,
that's a good point. But the only thing is, the U.S. is moving out of Afghanistan. So after that, it probably won't be as interested in appeasing Pakistan. It might even move away a little bit. I actually think that Modi's election could be a boon for Pakistan, just in that. I mean, I think that. They'll potentially find more dissatisfied Muslims in India, in like the Kashmir and other parts of India. Potentially based on Modi's history, and then also I think Modi will probably take a hard line towards China, which might push China towards Pakistan even more, or to see Pakistan as an even greater asset and thereby strengthen the Sino-Pakistan relationship. What are your thoughts on that, and also on Modi and China?
Yeah, well, I'll start off talking about Modi and China. You know, from watching him campaign, whenever he made, you know, a statement condemning China's expansionist tendencies in the Northeast or whatever, it was very politically opportune for him to do that. I believe he made the first statement condemning China's foreign policy outright towards India when he was in the Northeast, which makes sense, right? Because that's an issue in that region, and by bringing it up, you know, you score nationalist points and you look like a strong politician. But I think overall, you know, what is going to dominate Modi's approach to China is simply a pragmatic approach. I think he sees China as an invaluable partner in the region, genuinely. I mean, when it comes to these territorial disputes, I'm sure, you know, he's not happy about them. His nationalist tendencies will obviously encourage him to, you know, try to resolve these disputes with China, probably in a less restrained manner than the Congress did. But I think ultimately we'll see him pursue more of a business-minded relationship with China, trying ultimately to tilt the trade imbalance in India's favor. Right now, India imports a lot more from China than it exports, and I think Modi's going to try to alleviate that by looking to build up Indian manufacturing, probably.
Yeah, and it's a perfect time because China is also increasing its trying to boost household spending or household income. So its consumer market, if it pulls off the rebalancing, should grow. And supposedly they're going to reduce tariffs and other external trade barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of people are talking already about the next China in Asia, and you know, it looks like at this point it might be a country like Bangladesh, which has, you know, lots of low wage workers working in manufacturing positions. And I think part of what Modi might strive to do as a poverty reducing measure in India, and also to boost the country's trade balance, is to work more towards manufacturing and try to kind of turn India into that sort of manufacturing hub.
Yeah, but that's probably getting it. Require some more opening up or reducing opening up investment, foreign investment in the country, which, as you mentioned, really could be a problem for Modi.
Yeah, absolutely. On Pakistan, I think it's going to be one of the major issues of Modi and the BJP coming to power. The BJP has a significantly different perspective on Pakistan. I mean, if you look at these past 10 years under the Congress Party, Pakistan continuously, used a subconventional attack against India in both Kashmir and in the form of a terrorist attacks that were sponsored by Pakistan-based groups. And there's good evidence that these attacks were, backed by the inner services intelligence of the Pakistan military. And if those types of attacks seem continue from Pakistan, I think we might see India respond in a different manner, particularly with force. And I think Modi has indicated that. I wrote a piece earlier looking at some of the comments Modi had made about Dawood Ibrahim, who's a wanted member of who's a wanted organized criminal and a terrorist who's currently based in Pakistan, and he hinted that he might be willing to consider even cross border covert strikes against Pakistan in the same way that the United States chose to get Bin Laden. And any mention of these sorts of moves on the subcontinent could be hugely destabilizing.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But the U.S. at least originally acted with the drone strikes with Pakistan's acquiescence, or even at the direction at times, it looks like. So, do you think it'll actually follow through on that? It seems like it'd be dangerously provocative.
Yeah, I agree that it'd be dangerously provocative. I think that, on the security front, what the BJP has the advantage of doing right now is defense reforms. Fixing India's military procurement system, fixing its, military command structure. A lot of people have been saying that India would benefit from having a Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's something that the BJP could work on during its time in office. So I think that's quite exciting. We might see some real reform on those fronts.
Yeah, and that India could definitely need that. I could definitely use that. So
yeah, just before we finish the podcast, I just want to point out, Modi is a controversial politician. He has received the largest democratic mandate in Indian politics to a non-Congress party ever. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a significant contingent of folks in India who are quite concerned about Modi coming to power, and most of this has to do with the social side of things, his status as a Hindu nationalist candidate, and the BJP's status as a Hindu nationalist party. India's Muslims, in particular, are quite skeptical of Modi as a leader. As you mentioned, he had a lot of people still hold him accountable for what took place in Gujarat in 2002. There were riots in which hundreds of Muslims died, even though the Supreme Court has exonerated him of his role in the riots. Many people still think that he still allowed those to happen and hasn't repented. Other issues, include women's rights, other social issues, where the BJP has a different position than the Congress. It's more regressive on those in those areas, and that might sort of lead to some problems for how India is perceived on the world stage. Partly under the Congress Party, a lot of these social issues came to the fore, and many people are concerned about how the BJP will choose to handle them. And I think that'll be also something to watch.
Great, great.
Yeah, well, thanks for listening. And we'll have a lot of coverage coming soon, hopefully, on India's elections and the implications of this BJP historic victory. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.